Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're turning in our Bibles to the second message in this series, Romans chapter 7, recognizing our need for God. Here's Paul Chapel.
Psalm 146 and verse 7 says, "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners." God wants to free us from our sin. I was in a Christian bookstore years ago, and I walked in and I saw what they called Christian rock. I personally do not believe Christian rock is pleasing to the Lord. It's either Christian or it's rock, but I don't like the interchanging of the two. And I saw a particular record cover that had a group, and they were in leather and chains and makeup, and it was allegedly, again, a Christian group. And I thought to myself, I would never buy that for my children, because I want them to know the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ, when you really know Him, His truth will set you free. He loosens you. He doesn't take you back to Dungeons and Dragons and chains and leather. He sets you free from all of that. And that's what Jesus does. He lets us free. But when someone's in denial, they're in that leather and chains mode. They're losing energy and they're not loosed. But the Lord wants to loose us today. So it disables our feelings. It takes our energy away. Thirdly, denial negates growth. Now, we cannot grow in recovery until we step out of denial and into the truth. As I said a moment ago, it is the truth that will set us free. And so denial negates our ability to grow, because when you're acting like there is no problem, you can't get out and solve that problem. And then notice fourthly, denial isolates us from God. Denial isolates us from God because we're rationalizing away the problem rather than opening ourselves up to God. Now, would you turn in your Bible to Genesis for a moment, chapter 3? And some of these verses are in your notes, but turn back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. And I want you to see what it says beginning in verse number 11. Verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. This is when God comes to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I think that we can say this is a great illustration of what denial is all about and what happens when people are denying their problem. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that in that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now let's think about this for a moment. Here we have Adam and Eve. They have taken of the tree which was forbidden of them. God comes down to see them. Now we see them over here in the forest of denial, hiding from God. And they're denying the fact that they have sinned. They're hiding from their sin. And not only that, they're blaming others for their sin. This is how most Christians deal with their sin. They hide in the forest of denial. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't do it that much. I don't do it as bad as the guy that's really hooked. I'm in church today, aren't I? I'm okay. And they hide in the forest of denial. Then when they're confronted by their spouse or by a Christian who really cares, they say, It's my wife's fault. I wouldn't do this, but she drives me to it. It's so-and-so's fault. Eve said, It's the snake's fault. Now, there's a lot of things we could blame on Satan, but listen, life is not a Flip Wilson comedy act, and you can't say the devil made me do it every single time. The fact of the matter is there comes a point where we have to recognize that denial isolates us from God, and we need to come out of that forest of denial and say, Lord, I need some help here. I need your help. Notice the fifth thing denial does. It alienates us from our relationships. Now, this takes place because denial tells us that we're getting away with it. Denial tells us that we're okay. But what happens is we're not okay. We're drifting farther and farther apart from spouse, from family, from those that we're angry with. And so we're becoming more and more alienated. That's why Ephesians 4:25 tells us to speak the truth in love. And then notice letter L for denial. Someone in denial is lengthening the pain in their life. Denial only extends the hurt that someone experiences. Denial only causes the problem to grow deeper. It never solves the problem. And so why don't we recognize our need for God? Two major reasons. Number one, in our pride, we're going to control our problem. I can handle this. I can work through it. No one's going to hurt me like that again. And secondly, in denial, we act like there's never a problem to begin with. Now notice not only why we don't recognize our need for God, but here comes the good news. How can we experience the help of God? For a person that will step out of the forest of denial this morning, for the person that will humble themselves and say, Lord, I do need your help. I get very angry. I'm tempted with this or with that. Lord, I'm still mad as I can be about something that took place. For the person that will step out and just recognize that and admit that to the Lord, He has help for you today. And I want you to see, first of all, when we come to the Lord, we need to be honest with Him. Letter A, we need to admit that we cannot control our sinful tendencies. We need to say, Lord, I can't stop myself. I've tried on my own, but Lord, I have failed. Paul said that in Romans 7:18. I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know how to do that. And sometimes there have been hurts in our lives that maybe someone did it intentionally, maybe someone didn't mean it to happen, but it hurt us nevertheless, and we've got to deal with it. I heard about a little boy that was sitting in the room with his mother, and they were looking at photo albums of their family, and Dad was in the other room just kind of listening as he does sometimes, hearing what was being said in that room. And Mom was going through the photo album, and they came to a picture of a man, a tall, muscular man with a dark, full head of hair. And the little boy said to his mom, he said, Mom, said, who is that in that picture? And she said, Well, son, that's your father. And the little boy looked confused, and he said, Well, Mom, then who's that bald guy that lives with us now? Boy, the dad didn't know exactly what to make of that, you know. And sometimes things kind of come like that. Sometimes people are mean and malicious with what they say. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that when we respond and lash back in sin, the fact of the matter is that God is not pleased with that. God wants to loose us from that type of anger. Psalm 6 and verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, because I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. The psalmist said it too. He said, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I need your help. I can't solve all of my problems. I know that the songwriter of yesteryear said, I'll have it all and have it my way. But Lord, I can't seem to accomplish that. I'm not that strong. I need your help. We must admit our need for God, and we must admit that we cannot control our sinful tendencies. Notice secondly, we must be willing to lay aside hindrances to our faith. Now, this is very important right here. And this is why many people will not admit that we can't take care of our own problems, because we know that when we say that to God, He's going to say, okay, what is it in your life that needs to be taken out of your life? This is why many people will not say, God, I can't control the sin problem, because we know that God may require of us new friends, new habits. God may require of us that some change takes place. Now listen to it and read it with me in Hebrews chapter 12 there in your notes or in your Bible. Follow along with me. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12 gives this picture of a great stadium. Have you ever been to like Dodger Stadium? And that's what this is. It's a stadium of witnesses. And these are the people who have gone on before us. Abraham and Isaac and Paul and Moses and the Apostle John and maybe some of our loved ones. I believe those who've gone before us have a consciousness of the race we're running. All right? Wherefore, we are surrounded, the Bible says, or compassed about by this great cloud of witnesses. All right? And they're watching us run our race. And God wants us to win this race. Now, how are we going to do that? Notice what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, God says, all right, you admitted that you can't win the race on your own. There are some things, if you're going to win this race, that you need to lay aside. Some of those things are called weights. They're not specifically sins. Some of you that are newer Christians, you say, well, why can't I do that? I haven't seen it in the Bible. And it may not ever be defined as a sin, but it might be a weight, something that's just holding you back from really getting going for the Lord, something that is hindering you from doing what God would have you to do in the Christian life. It's not a sin, but sometimes it's like a weight. Let me grab my coat instead of my microphone. And it pulls you back. Now, if you come to a place of maturity in your Christian life, you're not always saying that it has to just be a sin before you'll stop doing it. But you'll say, you know what? It's not a sin that this man is my friend, but every time I'm with this man, we get drunk. And that is a sin. And there are some things in your life that are weights. And God says, if you want me to help you win this race, you need to lay aside the weights and the sins which do so easily beset you. And we need to be willing to lay those aside. Now, folks, I could preach for days, and so could you right now, on weights and sins that pull us back from winning our race. Let me mention a few that are in the notes this morning. I think about, for example, worry. Some people are just continually pulled back by worry. Matthew 6:24 speaks of it. Some are pulled down by resentment, and they carry such strong resentment for others. And that you just can't even say the name of someone without them becoming filled with resentment and anger. Some are pulled back by this matter of walking alone. Did you know that Galatians tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens? That God does not intend for us to walk alone, but He intends for us to walk with other believers and to bear one another's burdens? But many people suffer with loneliness. And may I say to you this morning, loneliness is a choice. God does not want us to feel that. He wants us to feel the presence of His Holy Spirit and of the Christian family. And so we must be willing to lay aside those hindrances to our faith, the weights and the sins. Now, Paul voiced his testimony in Philippians 3 and verse 13 this way. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't arrived. okay? How many of you are willing to say, I haven't arrived either yet. I mean, I got a ways to go, all right? All right, those rest of you that have arrived, go back to sleep. Okay, now, Paul said, brethren, he says, I have not apprehended, okay? But this one thing I do, now listen to this, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, those past sins, those things that continue to come up and they haunt me and they cause grief and hurt, he said, I'm going to put them behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to press on towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must admit that we cannot control these sins. Then we must lay them aside and give them to the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on him, Hebrews 12:2, in order that we might run the race. Then the third thing we must do to sustain this momentum is we must hear the truth. We must continuously open up our hearts to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. Hear the Word of God. Hold on to God's Word. That means the preaching times. That means Bible study. That means discipleship if you're a new Christian. That means reading the Bible on your own. And God says, I want you to hear the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, let me tell you something about the truth. If you're in the right kind of a church, you don't always like what it says. Sometimes people say, well, I'm trying to find a church where I can feel comfortable. Well, folks, if you're in the right kind of a church, you're going to feel uncomfortable sometimes. Because the truth is not always the most comfortable thing, but it's always the right thing. It's always what we need to hear. You will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. If you want a church that will let you stay in your denial, remain in your sin, and tell you that that's okay, you're never going to have the freedom or the victory that comes by the grace of God. Now, again, sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. I heard about a father that came home from work, exhausted, tired, sat down in his recliner chair. His little fellow was running all around and had some homework that needed to be done. Mom had said, do your homework. And so rather than do his homework, he went in by dad. And he was running around there. And finally, his wife came in and said, now, Johnny, I told you to do your homework. And she looked over to her husband and nudged him a little bit. She said, you know, you better help him with his homework while you still can. Next year, he'll be in the sixth grade. Any dads can relate to that with all the new math, you know. You know, sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, do we? Sometimes we don't like to face where we are with something. But spiritually, we need to face up to it so that we can be what God wants us to be in this life. So why don't we recognize our need for God, our pride, and sometimes our denial? How can we experience the help of God? Admit that we're a sinner. Admit that we fall short. Be willing to lay aside those weights and those sins so that we can hear the truth of God's word. And then notice thirdly this morning, the result of admitting our need. What happens when someone says, God, I need you? What happens when someone comes out of the forest of denial? What happens when someone says, all right, I know I have a tie on this morning and I know I dressed up for church, but there's some stuff going on in my heart. What happens when someone gets honest with God? Two great things happen. First, his grace will be available for you. You see, some people think if I admit that I have a problem, the people at the church are going to club me to death. God's going to club me to death because God's just waiting to expose all my problems to everybody. Now, my friend, there may be some humbling moments that come, but that is not God's intention merely to shame you or hurt you. His intention is to give you his grace. And the Bible says in James 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God gives to the humble an appropriation of his grace and forgiveness and mercy. And folks, I don't even know how to describe it because the Bible says that it is a peace that passes all understanding. There's a forgiveness and a peace that comes into the heart of someone that opens themselves up to God that is indescribable. And so his grace will be available, but not only that, his grace will be sufficient. Listen. What pills can't do and what drink can't do and what psychiatrists can't do, God's been doing for thousands of years. His grace is sufficient. The Bible speaks of it in this way, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, for we have, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ knows what hurt feels like. He knows what shame feels like. He knows what temptations are like because he went through all of it, my friend, but he never one time sinned. He never got angry when those Roman soldiers pulled at his beard. He never got angry when he was spat upon. He never hated Judas. He never hated any of them. He did not hold anger. Why? He is our perfect example. Now, that's why we come to him and we bring our hurts to him and we bring our cares to him. And it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you're willing to admit your need, God says, I've got plenty of grace to help you in your time of need. I've got plenty of forgiveness and grace that will help you. Years ago, I was serving as an associate pastor in a church, and my wife and I met a young lady. In fact, her husband came to church, and he was coming back to the Lord, and he said, would you all visit my wife sometime? She needs the Lord. So Terry and I said that we would, and we went out to the house, and I mean, this lady was hard. I mean, as hard as it get. Her attitude was something like this. All right, I know my husband sent you here. Say what you have to say and go. She sat on that couch. We sat across in some chairs across from that coffee table. And I mean, she was smoking like an angry person would smoke. She wasn't just kind of inhaling. She was basically eating those like that. And she wasn't politely blowing her smoke the other way. She was blowing it at Terry and I. And I mean, she was just one rough customer. I guess she thought she'd kind of desensitize us a bit, and she just started saying some things about her cocaine habit, about how she had some that day and how she has some every day. Then she shared with us about the fact that she'd had her abortion not too long prior to that. You know, I was seeing the anger, but inside there was one hurting, miserable, guilty young lady. She wouldn't give us the chance to open the Bible. We began to pray for her. My wife did some kind things for her. She came and she visited the church again, or her, for the first time with her husband who came again. I said, Terry, let's go back. And after much prayer and after trying to show her the love of God, the day finally came when she put down her arms and quit fighting, and she prayed to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's a pastor's wife today, helping hurting ladies and angry ladies to find what grace is all about. And what Jesus Christ can do for them. My friend, what is it going to take to get you to recognize your need for God? What is it going to take to get you to say, God, I'm going to come out of this forest of denial. I can't control my problems any longer. What is that besetting sin that you just can't tackle on your own? What is that fear from which God would like to set you free today? I would remind you this morning, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you will know the truth, John said, and the truth shall set you free. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we pray now that you would bless these words to our hearts. Father, that there would be a recognition of our need for you this morning, that there would be some who would take the first steps towards recovery today.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that he intends you to live as his child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chappell and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.